Welcome to the Pitcott Podcast. I'm Annabelle Pitcott.
And I'm Bill Pitcott. We are here, as always, to take a stack of shared sources, distill the essential knowledge, and, well, hand you the shortcuts you need to be perfectly well-informed.
That's right. Our whole mission is to turn complex info into, you know, clear, actionable insight. We want you to walk away ready to execute. And today, that task is planning a really, really joyous event.
Today, we are immersing ourselves in one of life's sweetest celebrations, the ultimate baby shower. We're talking about creating a day that's just packed with warmth and laughter and that real excitement for a new beginning.
It is a big undertaking, but it should feel beautiful, not, you know, stressful.
Exactly.
And for this deep dive, we are pulling all of our insights directly from Pitcott's best-selling ebooks. These guides are basically a complete blueprint for party planners, whether you're a seasoned pro or a first-timer.
They've really done the heavy lifting already, haven't they?
Yeah.
Synthesizing everything from trends to timeless logistics.
Yeah, exactly, which means we can just extract the most important nuggets for you.
And I think for anyone listening, if you're facing a big planning challenge and you need that quick, thorough knowledge, not just for showers, for anything, these ebooks are just a fantastic resource.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to dive deeper right away, just visit www.pitcott.com/books to download them. They really have all that foundational wisdom you need to make things flow.
Our goal here today is pretty simple. We want you to walk away with a plan that's cohesive, memorable, and this is critical, stress managed. We're going to cover everything from the changing rules of hosting to the tiny details that create lasting keepsakes.
Okay, let's unpack this. And let's start with something that has, I mean, completely changed in the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Who exactly is supposed to host a baby shower now?
Right, because historically, there was this very, very rigid rule.
Almost antiquated, you could say.
Yeah, exactly. The tradition was that only non-relatives should host. And this was all rooted in the idea of, you know, avoiding the appearance that the family was asking for gifts for themselves.
So it was really a rule about etiquette.
It was, but it often put a huge burden on distant friends or colleagues. But now, thankfully, that tradition has completely shifted.
So who steps in now?
Now it's the close family. Mothers, sisters, siblings, best friends. They're the ones who are really expected and want to step in and take the lead.
And the benefit of that modern approach must be huge.
Oh, it is. When the closest circle hosts, the planning load is immediately spread across people who genuinely care. It just cuts down on stress so much.
And I imagine it just feels more personal, more connected for the mom to be.
Way more connected. It stops being this, like, formal obligation and turns into a truly heartfelt celebration.
That sounds like a much better starting point. So, okay, if a close family member is hosting, the very first step before a date, before a venue, has to be the guest list, right?
Absolutely. The guest list mandate from Pitcott is maybe the single most important rule. Never, ever guess. You have to ask the mom to be for the full list.
Why is guessing such a major mistake? Is it just about, you know, not leaving someone important out?
Well, that's a big part of it, for sure. You don't want to exclude anyone special. But it's also practical. The number of guests dictates your venue size.
Right. Capacity.
And maybe most importantly, it helps balance the gift registry. Knowing who's coming helps the mom manage expectations for what she might still need to buy herself.
Got it. Okay, so list secured. Then it's invitations. Are we still doing formal printed cards, or can we go digital?
You know, classic printed invitations still have a certain charm. They feel special, but e-cards or digital invites are perfectly acceptable, especially if you're on a tight timeline. The key is just clarity.
And getting them out with plenty of notice.
Exactly.
Okay, before we jump into the really crucial part, the timing, I just want to say if you're loving this kind of focused, deep knowledge, please take a second right now to subscribe to our channel if you haven't. And definitely activate that notification bell so you don't miss any of our new uploads.
We work hard to extract these insights, and we really don't want you missing what's next.
Okay, let's talk timing. This is the million-dollar question, isn't it? You have to balance mom's comfort, the baby's arrival. When is the perfect time?
The crucial timing window, according to all of Pitcott's research, is to aim for 4 to 6 weeks before the due date.
4 to 6 weeks. That feels incredibly precise. What happens if we plan it too early? Say, like, at the end of the second trimester.
Planning it too early, maybe 3 or 4 months out, It can kind of dilute the excitement.
It feels less immediate.
Yeah, and the gifts she receives won't translate into, you know, immediate preparedness because she's not in that heavy nesting phase yet. You want the shower to feel like that final exciting step.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what about the other end of the spectrum? Pushing it too late, say, within 2 weeks of the due date.
Well, that's where the risk really spikes, logistically and emotionally. The mom-to-be is likely to be really physically uncomfortable, tired.
Maybe a little irritable.
But the biggest concern, as the source materials point out, is you literally risk a surprise trip to the delivery room mid-party.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No. So 4 to 6 weeks, that's the sweet spot. It strikes that perfect balance.
It's a safety net, but it still feels close and exciting. So we've got the date. Now, how long should the party actually be? I think people assume it has to be this 5-hour marathon.
Oh, no. The advice is very clear on this. Keep it short and sweet.
And how short is short?
The recommended duration is 1.5 to 2 hours max. Mm-hmm. And that short duration is actually very strategic.
But how do you fit everything, mingling, eating, games, gifts, into just, you know, 90 minutes?
You need a structure. The sources lay it out. You start with, say, 30 minutes of mingling with some light appetizers. Then that flows right into a 45-minute block for games and maybe a small meal.
Okay.
And then the final 30 to 45 minutes are just for opening gifts and wrapping up. That length gives you maximum enjoyment with minimum exhaustion. The energy stays high and nobody feels like they have to awkwardly linger.
That sounds perfect. Okay, now that we have the skeleton, the who, when, and how long, let's build on it. Let's talk atmosphere, the vibe, and the food.
The venue is where comfort is absolutely number one. Whether you host at home, in a garden, or book a room at a restaurant, the guiding principle has to be that the guest of honor feels completely cozy and at ease.
And once you've picked that spot, Pitgod has a really critical pro tip about confirmation.
Yes. You book the venue as soon as the date is set, obviously, but then you have to confirm all the details 1 week prior to the event.
Why is that 1 week check-in so important?
It's the host's safety net. It's enough time to catch any scheduling errors, catering mistakes, you know, double bookings. If something's gone wrong, you still have 7 days to pivot without that last-minute panic.
That step feels non-negotiable for a stress-free host.
It really is. And, you know, if you're looking for more of these kinds of actionable resources, like detailed checklists to manage your events, you can always explore more guides at www.pitgod.com.
Good to know. So, venue is confirmed. Now it's time to define the look and feel through a theme. The advice really stresses that a cohesive theme is what separates a random get-together from a really unified, you know, Instagram-worthy event.
A theme is the glue. It really is. It dictates everything, and it actually makes planning so much easier. The examples from the source are great, like woodland animals with greens and browns.
Or a colorful boho rainbows theme. I've seen that one a lot.
Yeah, or even a fun, like, tropical baby on board idea with bright florals. The key is just carrying that theme through every single element.
So not just decorations, the food, the games, everything has to speak the same language.
Exactly. If you have a woodland theme, maybe your food labels look like little wooden signs, or you serve cupcakes that look like they have moss on them. It just makes everything feel so intentional.
Let's talk about the food then. The strategy seems to be all about keeping it light and easy. We're talking finger foods, right?
Correct. Things that don't need heavy cutlery. Mini quiches, sliders, fruit platters, and easy desserts like cupcakes or macarons. The cake, of course, is the centerpiece, and it should perfectly match the theme.
And for drinks, they have to feel celebratory even though they're non-alcoholic.
Absolutely. Ditch the boring soda. The focus should be on visual appeal. Think vibrant mocktails, punch bowls with sliced fruit, and this is a great tip, fancy flavored waters.
Like cucumber mint or something.
Yeah, cucumber and mint or strawberry and basil served in those big glass dispensers. It elevates simple hydration into part of the decor.
And what about the final touches for the mood, the ambient stuff?
It's all about sound and light. You want a playlist of soft, happy tunes, nothing too distracting. For lighting, fairy lights or candles indoors create an instant warm glow. Or for outside, lanterns and picnic blankets give you that cozy, intimate vibe. These are really easy wins.
Moving into our final section, let's talk about the interaction, the memories, engagement, keepsakes, and the wrap-up. We have to talk about games.
Yes. Games are so essential. They break the ice so fast, and they keep everyone involved. They really force interaction, which can lead to some genuinely hilarious moments.
The Pitgod material listed a few classics that are must-haves. Guess the baby food, baby name scramble, baby bingo, And who knows mom best?
They're staples for a reason. They work. They need minimal setup but get maximum participation. They tap into that fun, competitive spirit.
And a key reminder for the host.
Don't forget prizes. People absolutely love a little competition. Just simple things like a candle or a small gift card. It really increases enthusiasm.
Okay, so after the games, we hit that central moment, opening the gifts. And this is where the emotion meets a big logistical hurdle, which is the thank you notes later on.
This is where you have to delegate. The host, or even better, a designated friend, must be assigned the job of jotting down who gave what.
Because the host needs to be focused on the mom, not a clipboard.
Precisely. That one small act simplifies the post-party process so much. But the sources also remind us to just step back and enjoy it. Watching the mom's reactions is half the fun, right? It's this shared supportive experience.
And to make that joy last, the material suggests setting up a keepsake table.
Yes, a space dedicated to creating memories. Simple, high-impact activities. Like you can have baby prediction cards for guests to fill out, guessing the weight, arrival time.
Or a wishing tree.
A wishing tree is great. Guests write advice or blessings on little tags and hang them on branches. Or a photo guest book for signatures. These little touches, they transform the event from just a party into like a time capsule.
And the final piece of the puzzle is the thank you favors. Simple tokens to just say thanks for coming.
Yeah, we're not talking expensive gifts here. Simple curated things, cookies and cute bags, mini succulents, maybe small bath bombs, just a little token of appreciation.
And the final act of appreciation comes from the guest of honor herself.
Yes. If she's comfortable, the recommendation is for the mom to give a quick, heartfelt thank you speech before guests leave. It just closes the loop and makes everyone feel really appreciated.
So if we pull all of this together, the modern hosting, the tight time frame, the coordinated theme, what's the real secret sauce for a successful baby shower?
I think the secret sauce is personalization and efficiency. It's focusing entirely on what the mom-to-be loves, adding those personal touches, and making sure the whole event stays light and joyful. Never let the logistics overshadow the celebration.
I love that emphasis on efficiency, which leads me to a final thought for you to consider. How can that principle of short and sweet, that 1.5 to 2 hour limit, be applied to other kinds of social hosting, like a brunch or a dinner party, to maximize enjoyment while minimizing exhaustion for everyone?
That's a fantastic question for modern life. And if you loved this deep dive today, please take a moment and press that like button. It really helps the recommendation algorithm so other people can find this knowledge too.
Thank you for being there with us. And remember, you can find more information and resources on knowledge acquisition at www.pitcot.com.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcot Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.